Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
I'm good. I had a weird week. Had I just finished my trial when we...
Maybe it was the day.
I had just had trial the last time we met, and I did get the verdict this week, or not the verdict. It wasn't a jury trial, but I did get the ruling. I'd won that trial, which is a really big deal. So that was
lame ass technicality. Barely made it.
Not even that. I proved our case by clear and convincing evidence, which is a very difficult standard. And it's a really hard climb. Anyway, that was a big deal. So I had a victory.
Was that the stupid one out the McKenzie?
No, it was an adverse possession case in Southern Oregon. But yeah, that was really cool. My client cried with happiness.
And with the bill.
And well, I did tell her, I said, well, I feel a lot better about the bill you're about to get now. but yeah, also Andrew, weird thing, you know this, I said it like I'm going to tell you for the first time. I passed out for this week, I passed out this week and hit my head and got a concussion.
Not because you were drinking, though.
And not because I was drinking. It's like a true...
God, that was this week?
That was on Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like a true, oh God, I'm getting old moment. I had to go to the doctor, I had to get neurological exams, full meal deal. I think I'm fine.
Why'd they check your prostate then? Did you just ask for that? You're like, hey, while you're here.
Yeah. So when I go to the doctor, I don't make things up to get opiates. I make things up to get the prostate exam.
Smart.
Also, just, you know, maybe probably nothing, but something weird going on. Yeah. So that was weird. That was weird. I don't really know what else to say about it. It was just weird.
Yeah.
My kids had to call had to call 911.
And then like, oh, JK. Whoever did it, I will say, if it was whichever one of your kids handled that 911 call.
It was the girl.
Did it terrific.
Why do you say that?
Because no police came to your house.
Oh, yeah.
Like when a weird 911 call comes in.
Yeah.
The cops show up and are like, hey, that was weird.
Yeah, well, I came to in the middle of the call, so and sort of indirectly talked to the operator and was like, no, I think I'm okay. She's like, okay, well, if you need anything else, call.
Yep. Yeah, so she handled it perfectly.
Yeah.
Because the police didn't show up to be like, hey, that was weird.
Well, I thought they were going to. I know,
you texted me.
Like, oh, it's a couple kids home alone and dad's passing out in the kitchen.
You know, that's pretty common.
To me, it felt like, oh, this is sketchy. Like they're coming. But fortunately, I was like stone cold sober. So I was like, yeah, they're going to come and be like, oh man, are you okay?
Like, hey, you're acting kind of weird. There was no police response. I know that because
you were working.
I was working. And if I had heard our street over the air, I would have been like,
I know that address.
What up?
I know we're all getting older, but it was like, shit. I felt bad for my kids. I could tell, it was just two of them at the house, and I could tell that they were like, I think seeing my vulnerability was impressive in and of itself, but they were also just like the drama of the event because I like collapsed in the kitchen and hit my head on the counter. And then I was like crumpled in on myself. And although I don't remember this, there are stories of gurgling.
I'm sure that's not true.
Well,
I think that was probably like an extrapolated imaginative.
So I hit the back of my head on the counter and then I ended up like this. I'm bending. I'm like,
oh,
I'm like crumpled in on myself. And so I think it was just like my air. That's the noise Betty said I made. Yeah.
I'm
both kids have confirmed this.
I'm super happy that your kids were concerned by that. Because if that happened to me. My kids there would be one of two options. Number one, they would not notice. and just keep living their lives. And number two, or number two, they'd be like, well, that's fucking weird. And then keep living their
lives. Yeah, I mean, I think that they both kind of, went into like, oh shit, something's really wrong moment. And then like, it took probably like an hour for them to be like, all right, we're okay. And now it's just full on a topic of making fun of dad. Like, yeah.
Well, you know, good
like,
outcome.
Like, oh, dad, are you going to pass out?
Yeah.
Hey, Uncle Lee, watch your head.
You okay over there, old man? You need your walker?
Yeah.
We need to put bumpers on all the countertops.
But no, I'm good. I'm healthy. Andrew, how are you?
I'm also good. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. I guess today, as you listen, happy Thanksgiving.
This is Thanksgiving, yeah.
I took today and tomorrow off, and I've been food-oriented for the last several days. So I'm great. It's like my favorite thing to just be like left alone to cook. And usually you don't get that freedom. It's like on a Monday night, there's not the, just you do you and you just cook and mind your business. But yeah, for Thanksgiving, right. You know, I started doing kind of prep stuff on Saturday. I put the turkey in the brine, and since then every day has had a little bit. And today is where like I really got rolling into prep work. So
you're probably better than anybody I know at like multi-day cooking ops. You're a highly organized feast maker.
I mean, you saw my counter. I've got all
I know,
the
I know. I saw it.
Non-refrigerated.
That was
stuff prepped, and
that was a genuine compliment.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You do really good with holiday feasts.
I do.
I'm more like, it's Thursday. What? Okay, the turkey. Yep, turkey.
I'm always super for Thanksgiving specifically. Always really scared of not starting my defrosting process early enough.
Oh yeah,
and starting it too early.
Yeah.
A big ass frozen turkey is one of the most intimidating things I can ever work with.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's a lot there. And they dry out, blah, blah, blah.
I've got mine in the brine, had it in since Saturday. So I know the defrosting is good. I think the brine is sufficiently penetrated. Tonight, I'm deep. Tonight, it's going to go on the smoker because it's a 24-pound turkey. And if I plan for 40 minutes a pound, I don't remember the math. It was like 12 hours ish.
You don't get too smoky at that amount of time?
No.
No.
I just
the answer. No.
No.
The answer is no.
You don't. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna definitely come get some of that tomorrow.
I think I'm gonna butter blanket it too. I don't know. I've got a couple methods. I weave bacon together and do like a bacon mat on it some years. I haven't decided if I'm going to butter blanket or bacon mat it, but it's just going to sit on the smoke for 12 or so hours.
Well, in any event, we're not here to talk about middle-aged ailments or turkey. Rather,
smoking meat, which is also a middle-aged ailment.
Rather, we're here to talk about watches, and we got some watches to talk about. Andrew, I think you got the worst of it this week based on your choices. However, I'm going to implore you to take us off.
I'm going to set you on fire, I think.
Like literally?
Yeah, maybe.
That sounds unpleasant.
So I am going to start. So thank you for letting me kick this off. We have...
You always kick it off.
I know, unless you have something that we both picked.
Unless
and you
I really
want
to steal it.
Which, you know, you do anyway. The third generation of the 01 series from Studio Underdog, the Watermelon, Desert Sky, Goofy Panda, and Mint Chocolate Chip.
This is the funnest thing to talk about. You went with the low-hanging fruit.
I always go low-hanging fruit. But here's what is the most interesting about this. It's not that we have fun colorways, that we have, you know, next generation 01 chronograph series. We have a proprietary ST1901 movement in this. And then kind of like downstream of that is Studio Underdog for this line of watches has an exclusive contract with Seagull now for their movements, because Seagull did a thing in the last year and raised their minimum order quantity to 10,000. Mm-hmm. Who are they selling movements to anymore?
Yeah.
But with that, so Studio Underdog went into negotiations and has made Seagull the exclusive movement provider for the 01 series using the ST1901. It's not in-house, even kind of, right? It's a 1901 movement with some upgrades, some additional finishing that are unique to Studio Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he's not having to order 10,000 movements. So I don't know what that negotiation looked like. I think what it comes down to is, rather than it being like this big deal exclusive contract, it's really a, hey, you know, I'm going to keep ordering movements from you.
Yeah.
I will just use your movements in this watch if you will let me not buy 10,000 of them at a time, please. The colorways are all super familiar, right? I don't think we need to super dive into them. But we have the new iteration. And here is the next thing that was kind of exciting, because there was a little bit of the, does this mean that Studio Underdog is going to be dropping, you know, $2,000 watches now? Was he like priming us for a big upgrade in movement? And like, should we wave goodbye to the time of $600 Studio Underdog watches? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
These new 01s come in at $650. Just nailed it.
Yeah.
I love his watches. They're super fun. He plays with color in a really meaningful way while also making good watches. The 1901 is well decorated.
Yeah.
It's far and away the most attractive 1901 I've ever seen. And you'd sort of expect that for a proprietary version of it. You nailed it.
You know, when Studio Underdog switched to the Sellita 510, I think there was a bit of grumbling. And it wasn't unfair, right? The grumbling wasn't unfair. It took what was previously a really delightfully inexpensive or affordable watch and turned it into something kind of different, right? Now we've got a big bad Swiss watch that is still kind of playful, but it feels less playful when you've got a significantly more expensive movement under mm-hmm. the hood, you know. Now this watch is really out of reach for most people. And so I just think this is terrific. You know, there's obviously been a significant amount of actual negotiation here. You know, I'm not sure why Seagull made this move, this 10,000 MLQ move.
Wild decision. Like, who are they selling movements to? Who's buying that?
Well, I think probably Asian manufacturers, but there must be something happening in China to have made that necessary. There, you know, that movement really almost economically doesn't make sense. And so you have to sell
10,000 of them.
And so you have to imagine there's something going on there. However, clearly there was a recognition that this brand relationship was important enough. So, and you kind of hinted at it, Andrew, but two things here. One, the back plate they've made black
mm-hmm.
on this, which is really an aesthetic improvement, but it does, if you've ever seen the back of a SW510, it's an attractive movement, But with this black backplate, all of the gears really pop, and it takes it gives it just a level of depth. It almost just looks like this invisible floating plate of gears now, which is gorgeous. The other thing they did, and this is probably the more important, this is probably the more important improvement, is that they added a swan neck regulator. So these can be easily adjusted now. it really takes this movement back to the OG Venus 150. Is that what it was? All of a sudden we've got this Chinese movement that's lovely, but a little crippled, and just makes it, yeah, this is actually just a dope column wheel chronograph. So yeah, I think this is terrific. The price is, this is not a whole lot that's changed. More is the same than has changed. But delightful, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, they did lose about half a millimeter. So I think 13.6 now to 12.9. So a little over half a millimeter.
Your opportunity to pre-order these is gone. We're talking about this because it's a new release. It's interesting. There was a 9-hour pre-order window because that's what Studio Underdog does. He's like, hey, you can order for this period. And if you order, you will get a watch. That has come and gone, but these will come up on the secondary market for probably, in the neighborhood of what the original price was.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because these aren't Smiths. These aren't like, buy it on Sunday, sell it for 3x on Monday.
Yeah. Really cool move. I think Richard just has secured himself in my mind as not just a sort of weirdo genius artist, but like a legit businessman.
Yeah, I mean, to negotiate something like this with Seagull is impressive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Pretty stinking cool. I have a question about this brand. So I'm just going to say Habring, but the brand is actually written Habring Squared. I've never heard anyone talk about Habring Squared or Habring for that matter. So I'm just going to say Habring for the remainder of this segment. However, I will just note that the brand's name is actually Habring Squared, or Habring to the second power. And I believe that is because this is a husband and wife brand founded by Maria and Richard Habring, and they want to make clear that this is both of them. So this is an Austrian brand started in 2004, and maybe just said that, that makes sort of handmade, these in-house developed watches that when they started were using ETA movements, and then over time brought their manufacturer, their Ibache, if you will, in-house. It is a delightful idea. Wait, what? This is a small Austrian husband and wife brand with in-house. Huh?
Yeah.
How have I not heard of them? Because they've been around for a long time and they make a lot of watches and they've got a great reputation. So their most popular line of watches is the Felix. And this last week, they, for their 20th anniversary, released a Felix that's not called a Felix. Rather, it's called an Oscar. And the reason for that is because it's a moon phase. And I saw this thing and I was like, just hold the fuck on, because this thing is rad. That's what I'm gonna say.
What? Why is
this?
Why
is it called the Oscar? Is rad because it's a moon phase, Andrew.
Am I being stupid?
Yeah, quit being dumb.
Is Oscar have something to do with moon phases?
Andrew, stop! You're making yourself sound stupid.
I am. I know that.
So this is a 38.5 millimeter moon phase that's 10.3 thick, including the crystal, with a moon phase, or a moon phase and pointer date with the true moon phase coming in a white dial, and the pointer dates coming in a white dial, or like a, what do you think, cornflower blue dial?
I don't accept cornflower.
No?
I think that's closer to like denim.
Okay, I'll accept. I don't know what they call it, but it's blue.
It's lovely. It's better than any single Tudor blue that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think that's right. Physically, we've got sort of a Calatrava case with Breguet numerals. That probably cheapens it a little bit, but I also don't think it's unfair. And we've got the in-house, true in-house caliber A11 UPS, made in Austria by the brand,
Ups,
using their own parts or local suppliers. It's a hand-wound movement running at 4 hertz that's adjusted in-house with an anti-magnetic escapement, blah, 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 blah. It's gorgeous. The movement is gorgeous. The watch is gorgeous. It's $7,000. And fuck. It's cool, man. It's cool. I saw this thing and I was like, I'm astonished that I don't, that I've never heard of this. And I kind of want one. I'm not sure I need the moon phase, but if you go and look at their website, the Felix is the same thing. I mean, really, it's the same thing.
Just sans moon phase.
With their in-house movement. And they're like, you know, you can get these things for like $3,500 secondhand. This is just terrific. It's like an Austrian small-scale Nomos or something. I don't know.
It's sort of Oris meets Nomos feel.
Yeah, maybe that's right. You know, I will say, and not to disparage them, because I'm high on this brand right now, and I saw that and I was really very pleasantly surprised by it. It's probably not quite as novel as Nomos. Let's say that these are. I always feel bad.
But I don't like the minute hands on these.
I don't like saying derivative, but these are derivative. I mean, they're more derivative than anything Nomos makes.
On the pointer dates, I love the handset on the no pointer date. Mm. The handset on the pointer date, the minute hand looks just a little funny to me.
Mm.
And I don't have a full explanation as to why I'm not fond of it, but the blue pointer date is absolutely gorgeous. I also, I'm not a big moon phase. Like, I can totally do without that. But this watch, as a pointer date with no moon phase, whew.
Anyway, we've never talked about them, and so I thought, let's talk about them.
And I don't know that we ever will again.
And now I've done it.
We've done it.
We've done it.
They are really lovely.
What's next, Andrew? Also, we've got, I think I counted 13 watches.
Oh, we're not going to get to all of them. Whatever.
Nope. We're not.
We never do. We never
going to talk about like two more and then just go drink beer.
Yeah, because of America and stuff. So this is a brand that I'm not sure we have talked about before. Era. A-E-R-A.
We've definitely never talked about them.
So this is a new iteration of the Dirty Dozen, Buffy Acacia from Time and Tide. What?
I don't know.
A-C-A.
No, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right. It just made me laugh the way you said it. It made me laugh. I'm sorry, Buffy. Your name's not funny.
The way I said it is funny, and I definitely didn't say it right, and I am sorry for that. So Buffy billed this as a revolutionary iteration of the Dirty Dozen. And I do disagree with that entirely. I think this is a really well-executed version of the Dirty Dozen. And so it's the M1 Field and Blackbird. So the M1 Field is a all steel design. The Blackbird is a DLC coded version of it.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Who
saw that coming? But these are really lovely. The spec sheet is right. So these are 39 millimeter cases, 13.14 thick, 47 lug to lug. Here's what gets me really excited, and this is something that's often missed in this style of field watch design, is a lot of these come in under 100 meters of water resistance. These have 200 meters of water resistance, sapphire crystal, and to make it a little bit more interesting, these are forged carbon fiber dials with BGW9 loom.
Housed in 904L.
Yes. Like, everything's just a little bit different and unique. In the way that it looks like a Dirty Dozen. You know, like a well-executed Dirty Dozen, small seconds, field watch.
Hear me out here, because I agree with you. It's clearly a Dirty Dozen, right? I saw the thumbnail pop up on my screen, and I said, "Oh, that's a Dirty Dozen watch." But I'm gonna say something that I think is funny, but also probably sounds a little pejorative. It is like the 1997 Tommy Hilfiger version of a Dirty Dozen watch. Everything's okay. Just a little bit like plumped up.
Yeah.
The sort of lug ears, I guess is what I'm going to call them, are a little like plumped up. The logo is plumped up. Your railroad's a little like,
mm-hmm.
It's just got that. Even the bezel is a little bit like fat. And
it's bulbous. It's round. It's not a fat bezel. I think it's a really well-executed Dirty Dozen.
I don't think it's unattractive. And so I say all of that, but like the font, they were just like, okay, put the font down, make it bold. Nailed it.
Maybe. <yeah.
laughs> I don't hate it. I like it. So I say that like as if it's a bad thing. It's not, but it's 1997 Tommy Hilfiger.
I totally see what you're seeing.
You're like, I don't like that you say that, but it's true-ish.
I don't fully disagree with it. It's just a little bit thick. Like, yeah. Everything's just a little bit thick.
You know, that era,
no K.
That era of design was really like simple patterns, simple colors, and just sort of
block colors. Yeah.
Block and zhush everything, like just fatten everything up. And that's what this is. I think it works in this context. I agree with you kind of that Buffy's descriptions here are a little bit over the top. But I do think she's right in that this is like kind of a fresh take on this watch. I like it.
Now, I didn't go to the Era website. The article has a bit of a discrepancy in that it says that it's $1,700 for the steel, $1,900 for the black.
That's what the Era website says?
No, the Time and Tide article.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't go to the website to verify this. And it also says that it's $971. But what we can agree on is that this is, you know, about or more than $1,000 watch for a Dirty Dozen and with a forged carbon fiber dial.
Yeah, like, I've got 1450 pounds on the Aero website.
Okay. So, it's... You
know, 904L steel. We've got a Sellita 216.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Sellita 200 movement.
Like, which I think is the hand cranker...
That's an automatic.
SW200. Oh, yeah, that's an automatic.
Yeah, it's just the small seconds.
It's a 216.
Because it's small seconds.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. I had it in my head that... Okay, anyway,
it's a 200 movement... Yeah. With a unique materials.
Yeah, you know I think that price is a little much, actually. I think it's a little much, but I sort of see
how we got there. Yeah. And it's an attractive watch. This is one of my... It stands out.
Global light in the hands.
It stands out from many of the other Dirty Dozen iterations that we see released every single day.
Agreed. Coolest watch release of the week?
Definitely not this.
No, not the coolest watch release of the week. But the best watch release of the week. There have been... I have watches that I'm going to talk about later that I think are maybe cooler because this brand isn't cool, and I don't really know why. The Circula Facet was released this week, and Andrew and I met Cornelius at Worn and Wound in New York a few years back. We were...
And his wife. I wish I could recall her name right off the top of my head.
Yeah, same. But. We were blown away by Cornelius. We were blown away by the watches. And for us, I think it was really our introduction to Circula. In fact, we had made an episode before that wind-up trip about the watches we were most interested in and had kind of gone through the brands and, oh, what is this brand? And then we were looking at the watches and we were like, wow, these look terrific. And then we got there and we were both just...
Floored.
Blown away.
Circula is one of the... So if I had to name brands that... In order to appreciate, you have to see them in person. Circula.
Serica.
Serica. Oh, 100% Serica. What's the British brand that has good colors?
Farrer.
Yep. Those three. Most other watch brands, you look at the pictures of them and you can have an appreciation for the watch. But those three brands... Until you see them in person, you've not lived.
Well, and for what it's worth, I think Serica and Farrer both have this incredible level of enthusiast appreciation. I still think that Circula is being slept on.
Yes,
100%. I think the industry sleeps on Circula. I don't know that this is going to change that, and I'll tell you why.
I don't think it will.
Let me just say, I think this watch is, at first glance, really, really, really cool.
It's so German.
So, Circula been in the sort of like sub-$1,000 sport watch market. This is clearly a sport watch. I would say this is in the vein of a Antarctic or perhaps a Christopher Ward 12. It's not, at least I don't believe it's an integrated bracelet, but it definitely has that sort of integrated bracelet sport watch vibe.
The shape of the case makes it look like it ought to be an integrated bracelet.
That's right. But I do believe it's just a 20 millimeter bracelet. So what is this? It is a very high end. So this is a watch that was designed for Circula and Cornelius Huber by Guy Beauvais, who it was, I believe... the CEO of Tag Heuer for quite some time. So this is a guy who knows his watches. And it's just terrific. So called the Facet, you will not be surprised to see that this thing has a lot of angles. It's an angular watch, but it also has this like deceptive roundness to it. It reminds me of watches in the vein of, well, the first one that pops into my head is the SKX, but watches that are square, but also sort of curvy with that like Gary-esque architecture, right? Like I'm clunky and chunky, but also soft and curvy.
Shaved the edges off.
I just think this is terrific. And it's a watch. I saw the picture at first and I was like, meh. And then I was like, oh, those are the noises I made when I looked at it. It just tip to tail is interesting. It's interesting. I'm not going to call it beautiful, but it is gorgeous. Just hear what I hear the words that I say, Andrew. Just hear the words that I say. I want you to see me. No Arabic numerals.
Excuse me.
Markers. So they're sort of rectangular, angled rectangular markers. Arabic numerals for the minutes pushed outside those markers, which I think is a great look up on the rehot or the chapter ring, if you will. 100 meters water resistance. LJP G100. KIF shock absorber. And where it gets really cool is in the dimensions, which I'm just not able to find. Fuck me.
Will you tell anyone?
38 millimeters, but it is... Why can't I find it, Andrew?
I don't know.
It's thin. It's thin. I'm looking for the damn thickness. Oh, cripes. Should I just make something up?
Definitely do. This Warner One article you sent me does not have a spec sheet.
You know, I think I read the dimensions on Vuk on It's About Time. Thanks, Vuk, for the details, because even Warner One didn't give them to us. Anyway, it's thin. Shit, they're not on the website either. Carry on.
While I manage my sneeze attack here, this is bizarre.
Here we go. 10 millimeters. 10 millimeters. Exactly 10 millimeters thick. 38 by 44 and a half by 10 millimeters with a 20 millimeter, 20 millimeter lug width. It's terrific. And the dial. So here's I think the coup d'etat of this watch. Well, the dial, this is very circular. In fact, I saw it and I thought, oh, that's a circular, but it's got this sort of like grid dial, a circular grid dial with rectangles, the same size rectangles, almost like a cobblestone placed around from the center to the outside. Terrific sort of symmetrical handset. A sewing needle second hand. I don't know if that's what you call it, but I would call that a sewing needle handset second hand. Big sort of grippy looking crown. Sort of scalloped. The bezel is round, but it's got scalloped, which gives it a little bit of that... angular thing that is important in watches like this. I just think it's great.
It's not even scalloped. It's almost like it's an angled, like octagonal.
Yeah, but it's shape. Actually just round with scallops that give it that sort of So between the dial, that sewing needle second hand, I mean, there's enough going on here that I'm like, oh, this thing's great.
It's
10 millimeters thick. Oh, did I say the price?
No.
$1,890 bucks on the bracelet.
Interesting backplate here, too. We have a backplate with a see-through case back that's affixed to the case by four screws.
Mm-hmm. But they're not, they're like at angles.
Yeah.
Or they're like on ears, like corner ears.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like everything about this watch is just interesting.
It's the most interesting or best watch release this week, I think.
There's no...
I won't say that. There's so many cool watches that came out this
week. There's not many things that you've seen before. The way the markers cut into the... cut into your minute track. Like, just... Everything's just interesting.
It's very interesting. And the shape of the bracelet. I do suspect.
Yeah, nice flat H link.
This is going to be treated like a bit of an ugly duckling, but it's the kind of ugly duckling that I like. You know, we didn't say at the front of the show, Andrew, but I was just reminded. Ducks still haven't lost.
No, still haven't lost.
Yeah.
And the potential for having three games with the Ohio State University is. diminishing. Yeah. Looks like probably just two at this point.
Perhaps.
You know who did lose, though?
Everybody else in the country?
Alabama.
Everybody else in the country has lost. Ducks are the only undefeated team in the country. Mm-hmm.
Even West
back,
Point.
Back to watches.
Who, you know, had their moment in the sun and then lost to
flew too close.
Another shitty team.
What's next, Andrew?
Okay. I like this watch.
We literally may only get to like four watches today.
That's okay. It's normal for us. I want to talk about an interesting collaboration, the Time and Tide and Tag Heuer Aqua Racer Solar Graph Sundown. And we've talked about the Aqua Racer, I don't know, 500 times, probably, because it's...
Yeah, that sounds right. I just counted. It's about 500.
Because it's such a terrific watch. It's a stunning holdover from 90s design and style that still looks really good in the modern era.
When they've just, especially as of late, really started doing it justice.
Yeah, and they've put a bucket load into the Aqua Racer to such a degree that I'm like, man, I think I want an Aqua Racer. So spec sheet on this, these are 40 millimeter cases, 11 and a half thick, 47 lug to lug. They're using grade 2 titanium in these. 200 meters of water resistant sapphire crystal, 20 millimeter lug width. And they are just good. So this is a limited edition collaboration with Time and Tide. And it's just a colorway. That's all it is. Why are you texting me?
But it's a good colorway.
It is.
It gives me, it's definitely got like Zen vibes to it.
Ooh, yeah.
Because of the blasted and brass, it's sort of got like a gold, what do they call that? Gold bronze aesthetic to it. It feels kind of Zen to me. I don't know when the Solar Graph came out. Was that... 21, oh, it says right at the top of your article. Yeah. The Solar Graph was first released in 2022.
Oh, 2022.
I didn't want to like it because it feels to me like a backpedal a little bit for Tag Heuer, but you gotta admit.
No, but they went to a solar movement.
Yeah.
Which is objectively an upgrade from this era of Tag Heuer that was quartz and not even like high accuracy quartz. It just quartz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Right. We're not dealing in cutting edge technology here. Cause if you're going to use quartz, you can use really cool technologies because quartz is objectively the best timekeeping technology that exists. And there's cooler ways to do it.
Yeah.
Than shitty Chinese modules.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, dude. I think this is terrific.
This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not super exciting.
18 karat rose gold on the dial.
But it's cool to see a Time and Tide collaboration.
Full titanium. Yeah, this thing's pretty cool. Can you get these in the U.S., Andrew? Or is this Australia?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's a good looking watch, though.
And they're right on price. They're, you know, $3,000-ish.
I will say a decision was made at some point. A decision was made to put the Time and Tide logo at 6 o'clock, more or less in place of the 6 o'clock marker. And
more.
I object. But outside of that, really, really cool.
I mean, it's a collaboration.
Yeah.
I see why they did that.
Anytime anybody has ever asked me their opinion about a collaboration watch.
And even if they don't.
I have suggested you do not put your logo on the dial. And I will say, people have asked me this question more than once. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't.
Nobody
from Time and Tide asked me this question.
Our logo is on the dial of our collaboration.
Also true. Also true, Andrew.
So,
I will say anytime anybody has ever asked me that question, I have made that suggestion.
And until we did it, and then we're like, fuck yeah.
Nope, I said we should not put the logo on the dial. Anyway,
we did it
I was trying to make a subtle joke.
And then, I know, and you didn't do a good job because I explained it for you.
I maybe was too subtle about my joke, and then you were, Serica, speaking of Serica.
Ooh, round two.
You did not put this on your list, Andrew, and I was kind of surprised about that because when I grabbed this, I said, oh, well, Andrew's going to be jumping on.
You know why? It's because my list is 2 weeks old.
Oh. Serica, the military sport field watch brand.
That's very much like German Boulder.
Serica has released a fucking dress watch.
And it's weird.
And I did not see this coming, Andrew. I did not see this coming. So I believe that the term for this style of watch or this vein of watches right now is a shaped watch. This is a shaped watch, and it is an oblong, a north-south oblong dress watch that they're calling the 1174 Parade. And we're not talking about parade like a Macy's parade, but rather we're talking about parade in the context of perhaps military dress or some other formal dress parade event. 1174, come to find out, is a reference to the 1:1.74 ratio on the dial, or perhaps the case. I believe it's the dial. So you've got 1x on the width and 1.174x on the y. So that's what 1174 is, in case you were wondering. I believe that's my understanding. And it is like, it's just a beautiful sort of art deco, unadorned dress watch. At first I saw this thing and I was like, instantly no. I don't like it. I do not like green eggs and ham.
I'm confused.
And then I saw the dimensions. I was like, oh, 35 by 41 by 8.6.
This looks way thicker than 8.6.
With 100 meters of water resistance and a stadium pin buckle strap with an 18 to 14 millimeter taper. And I was like, okay, hold on. Because the dimensions are incredible. Let me give this watch a second chance. So I went back and looked. And I was like, you know, there are things I don't like. There are things I don't like.
Start.
I do not like the texture on the dial. It's sort of like a wavy radial grooving.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like the length nor the width of the hands.
Mm-mm.
But the case,
I don't like the hand shape.
I'm there for. That's because it's got butt plug hands, and you like butt plugs.
That is why I don't like them, because I'm jealous of them.
You know, here's what I'll say about this watch. I think Serica is a cool enough company that they can get away with this, because I think if you were to buy this, so here's the way I think of a dress watch. A dress watch is a watch that I'm going to buy to wear nice events.
Once maybe a year.
Exactly. Which means for me, probably one to four times per year, right? And I am going to want that watch to be incredibly classy. I'm going to want it to be kind of special. And I wouldn't feel bad about this being that watch. And so in that vein, for a watch that I may, between now and the time I die, wear 100 times, I think that this is a good amount of money to spend.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that it is
$1,500.
Everything you, dimensionally, it's everything you'd want out of this watch. Yeah, it is a dress watch too. It fits all the bills. I'm into it. So, I do not know that I love it though.
So you talked about it being a stadium case shape.
No, and the buckle is a stadium pin buckle is what they call that.
Okay.
Although the watch is
the watch looks like
the Oregon O.
It looks like Otzon. There's no lugs. It has hooded lugs. No, not even hooded lugs. It's an integrated strap into the case back, which gives this watch kind of like a weird, a unique top heavy illusion, right? There's not that sweeping transition between the case into the strap. The strap mounts at the bottom of and under the case. So it's all case on top of your wrist, but it's still 8.5 millimeters thick. But because of that, of the way they have integrated the strap from the top down, this looks like a big old bitch sitting on your wrist. But the profile view is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The optical illusion created by that integration of the strap is really interesting.
Sopran M100, it's not cost certified because there's no secondhand, but you imagine it could be. It's a really interesting watch. I'm going to call it interesting. And I think for what it is, I like it. I do think the dial winds up cheapening it. I think that they could have done something different with the dial. This dial does not work for me.
The gold is a big bust for me, but the black I'm down with.
The black is the more attractive of the two. I agree with you. But even the black, the dial just doesn't work for me. It gives me sort of
Movado feels.
Exactly what I was going to say. It gives me Movado feels. And I think that they could have done something better with that dial. I don't know what it is. I'm not a watch designer most of the time.
Yes, you are. Objectively, yes.
But this dial isn't working for me. I even accept the hands, I think, with a different dial.
I think maybe like a lacquered or maybe a... Yeah. Yeah. I think the kind of wavy grooves tend more toward like a diver, like kind of an islandy, you know, Jimmy Buffett feel. But I agree. I think the texture on the dial is a bit of a miss. But on the black, it's really very subtle.
Yeah.
And the markers... on the black, there's like Movado pips.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm at. I think most of the decisions they made here are really good. The dial, I'm not feeling it.
There's like two poor decisions.
Maybe, you know, you put gold, batons on here or something.
Ooh, yeah.
That there are any number of ways that I think they could have done better there. For me, the execution on the dial's a miss. But everything else, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling it. It's a really cool watch. And if you look at this thing and you're like, the dial's cool to me, Everett, shut the fuck up. I think
then get you it. Probably
because need it's to get rad.
Your eyeballs checked.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's subjective. And so I think if you don't look at this thing and think, I hate the dial, then this is probably for... $1,500.
I mean, I don't look at it and think I hate the dial.
Watch out there.
But when I dive into it and when I look at it and yeah. and do the like, ooh, is this something I want to pay for assessment? I
don't think, I'll just say this right now. I don't think at $1,500 is a cooler dress watch out there. I wouldn't get it because of the dial, but I think at $1,500, just, you know, like I said, I looked at this thing and I was like, no.
Yeah,
I think and you're then I right. looked at the dimensions with that 100 meters of water resistance, and I was like, hold the fuck on. And then I went back and really looked at the watch and said, you know, I actually like everything but the dial and kind of the hands. So that's where I'll leave it.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I think in the way of a pure, true dress watch, I don't know that you're going to do much better.
Andrew, price point. We have talked about maybe 30% of our watches. So what I'm going to say to you is pick one more watch.
Okay.
And talk about it. And then I'll pick one more watch and talk about it. And then we'll speed round.
And I won't include any of those in the notes.
Okay. That's great. We don't include the speed round in the notes.
No, because you go through so many, and adding something into the notes is time consuming. It takes longer than we talked about it. I want to talk about Universal Genevieve return.
Genevieve, huh?
Yeah. Three new pole router releases.
That you cannot buy, nor can you afford.
No, but they are stunning. Oh my gosh. So we've got a rose gold with a black dial, a steel with a blue dial, and a steel with a white dial and gold hands. I don't know that I'd call it gilt because it's not exactly gilt, but it's a pole router and it's fucking gorgeous. None of us are ever going to be able to pay for one of these. We'll be really lucky to see one in person. Red gold. Is that different than rose gold?
I don't think so. I think it's just rose gold.
But it says it's 18 karat red gold.
It's a bird of a different feather.
Does that make it more expensive?
No. Can I say something? This is a bit of an interjection.
Yeah. Weird.
What's a microdor? I thought that was a typo. These are restored microdor 1-69 movements. I thought first it was a typo, like they missed micro rotor. These are microdor. Is that a brand?
I don't know. I don't even see what you're seeing.
All right, never mind. Carry on.
So these are 35 millimeter cases.
And these are 1950s Girogenta cases. I mean, yes. There is nothing distinguishing these from a 1950s Girogenta case.
These are gorgeous. Just absolutely stunning. I think one of the things that will be overlooked is the bracelet interaction to the case. There's not an end link. It's just this gorgeous, kind of like...
Are you looking at the chain cases?
Yeah, the bracelet.
Yeah.
The like chainmail right into the case. Interaction is just gorgeous.
These are made by I believe a company called Laurent Joliet, which is the last chain maker in Switzerland, in Geneva. They're 18 karat white gold, literal pieces of art.
Anyway,
you were talking about the chains. I'm talking about the chains. Come on.
I am. I
well, you seem bored.
I don't want to spend too much time talking about this like unobtainium, but these are just fucking stunning. They all bear an SAS logo at the 6 o'clock. Just like everything about these says peak of tool watch innovation in the 1950s when a tool watch is still like, oh, we also want it to look really handsome.
Yeah. You know, I think this is actually a really interesting move. I am going to I'm going to reserve any actual opinions on these because I don't think we're ready for actual opinions. We're so early and we're really talking about a 2026 relaunch of a brand. But for me, I think if these are intended to sort of whet our appetites,
my appetite is whetted.
I'm okay. But if this is the brand, if this is what we should expect from the brand, I maybe have some questions. I do like these. I do not feel like these are modern watches.
No.
And that's a bit disappointing. You know, Universal Genève is too good of an IP for them to do full-on Nevada Gretchen mode. That's how I feel about it. I think Universal Genève should be making the coolest, most robust watches on earth. These should not be a heritage revival. This should not be a heritage revival brand.
There's money to be made there, though, and I think that's where
perhaps. We're but I mean, Universal Genève should be competing with Chopard and Cartier, and you know, I think it's okay to say perhaps even Patek or
ALS or like any of these.
Maybe not price wise, but
in the way of like design and no, I think you're right.
I do not think that Universal Genève should come back and do a Nevada Gretchen model. That's how I feel. And that's what this makes me feel like we should expect.
Because that's where the money is.
That, to me, would be a great disappointment. So, like I said, we'll reserve judgment. No, it won't
be. Everything they release, you're going to really love.
No, for me, that would be a great disappointment.
Well, you are a great disappointment. Because we
already have Nevada Gretchen. We already we don't need another brand. Like, Universal Genève, come back and make cool fucking watches. Right? I don't know. These are a little too retro for me. And so we'll see what happens.
I'm here for it.
You're always there for it.
I mean, I am. I really am.
Oh, boy. I only get one more, Andrew. That's it.
Okay. I know, and there's 30 more links.
So the Maurice LaCroix.
That's not what I expect you to go with, but nice.
Maurice LaCroix joins the Ceramic Club. That's just the monochrome byline. Maurice LaCroix, or title, has released the Icon Automatic in ceramic. White and black. They're calling it technical ceramic. I don't know exactly what that means.
It means that it's technically ceramic.
I think it means that it is ceramic that's been augmented with other things, other oxides, zirconium oxides, in order to make it a little bit more durable than regular ceramic. A little bit stronger. They've released the Icon in white and black ceramic, and it is, I'll just say, this is the first Icon that I've liked. I've never been a huge fan of the steel Icon. I do not like the resin Icons because I think they're vastly overpriced and they just look a little soft and cheap to me.
They do look soft. How does a picture of something look soft?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't love that look. You know, compared with, for instance, the Moon Swatch, which has these really crisp, sharp edges, something about the Icon's design makes that watch and resin just look soft. This, not so. These ceramic Icons look brilliant. So they have them in both 39 and 42. They have them in white and black. They come, unsurprisingly, with an SW200. And they're cheap, man. Well, okay, they're not cheap. But they're like $3,000. Yeah. So for the 39 millimeter, you've got 39 by 11 by 42 with 200 meters of water resistance for the, 39 by 11 by, I don't see a lug to lug on these. I think
they look 47 and a half.
I think they're 48 ish. And for the 42, you've got 42 by 11. So terrific dimensions on these. 11 millimeters on this watch on a 200 millimeter. Yeah, they just look great.
And you said they're a 200 meter watch?
Quick release bracelets, 200 meters. And they just look terrific.
They really do. The integration of the bracelet to the case is,
they nailed it.
They nailed it. Yeah, they absolutely nailed it. Integrated bracelets can be really tricky.
And this is the icon. I mean, there's nothing here that you won't have seen before in a steel icon, but for whatever reason, it's ceramic. I really do think it's a terrific watch.
This is the first white ceramic watch that I've ever looked at. I've been like, huh.
I think
I could do that.
I think IWC does a big pilot in white ceramic that I really like. They're like
$10,000.
Yeah, big money. Yeah.
I could do this white ceramic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for $3,000, that's it.
And I don't think the IWC ceramic comes on a bracelet either. I think it's purely on a strap.
That kind of makes sense. IWC does some weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I do really like their ceramic watches. Their ceramic big pilots, I think, are pretty cool. Yeah. So they've got
$3,100, man, for a full ceramic case and bracelet. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So on rubber, the IWC Pilot Chronograph Top Gun Lake Tahoe ceramic is 11.7.
I don't do rubber.
And that's on rubber or textile? I can't tell. Oh, it looks like textile. It looks like textile on rubber. The blue.
Like a hybrid?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Gross.
The blue Top Gun that everybody was wearing the other couple years ago, 11.7. So, really starting point on an IWC ceramic is $11,000.
Yeah, but we're talking about the Maurice LaCroix. That's $3,000.
$3,000.
It's an icon.
That's right.
Comes in 39 millimeter or 42.
On a ceramic bracelet.
I think you do this in a 42. As much as I like the 39 millimeter case size, I think you go 42 if you're going ceramic.
Yeah. Quick speed run. I don't know what that Vertex is because I didn't look at it. Bremont released a Supermarine 300 meter GMT collection, which is actually pretty fucking cool.
I super like them.
Amita released the Digitrend, the very cool Digitrend in black and gold. Jacques Bianchi has released a JB300, which is a recreation of a 1970s watch made for the French Army Dive School, and it's really cool, but there's not very many of it. It's limited to X amount of pieces, which will stop being sold on December 5th. So if you want one, get on the Jacques Bianchi site.
Hurry up. And they're really cool.
Yeah, that's right. Casio released a calculator watch in the calculator watch in three colors commemorating the 50th, 60th anniversary of the first personal calculator. And Timex released a TV watch that they're calling the 1983, and it's really cool. It's got an automatic Miyota.
Yeah.
It's $8,000 and a Twisto Flex. I don't think it's actually a Twisto Flex, but an expandable bracelet. Really fucking cool.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, except that it's great.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because that watch 100% would have been quartz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And affordable.
And that's what we got. Oh, one more piece of news. James Stacey is the new editor-in-chief of Hodinkee. Didn't see that coming a few years ago, but well-deserved. Well-deserved, you know, someone who's been in the game now for a very long time. One of our heroes as we started the show, or role models as we started the show. So congratulations to James.
And fuck Mike.
Andrew, other things, what do you got?
So I was scrolling through the tiles this week, looking for something to watch. Because I like basically only watch TV now because of the hours that I'm up. Like I get home from work at about 2:30 in the morning, so I can't really do shit. So I just watch the TV really low before I go to bed, and then I wake up and I go to work. So that's why I only watch television, because I can't do things. So
you can't make cabinetry at 2 a.m.
No, no. And though I do have a reel, R-E-E-L lawnmower, you still shouldn't do that at 2:30 in the morning.
You should not.
You can weed. It doesn't matter. So I'm scrolling through tiles and I saw Ted Danson's face. And in, always, if you see Ted Danson in something, it's going to be good.
Sometimes you want to go.
Because Ted's the best. So there's a new show. It's called A Man on the Inside. It's written by Michael Schur, who was a writer on The Office. He did The Good Place. He was kind of the NBC guy at the peak of NBC comedy in the 2000s. So he wrote a new show called A Man on the Inside, which stars Ted Danson. And the whole premise of the show is that Ted Danson is kind of entering his retirement era and not really sure what to do with himself or his time or his days. And he responds to a very vague job posting and essentially becomes a private investigator who is placed in a independent living facility to investigate a crime. So it's super low stakes, but this guy is just fully invested in it. And Michael Schur is this terrific writer. If you think of 30 Rock and The Office and kind of that era of NBC comedy, it feels very much like that. It feels really similar to The Good Place, such that when I finished this season one, I think it's 8 episodes, I went to watch The Good Place because I was man, I need more Ted Danson in my life. I need more of this really good, clever writing in my life. Is fantastic. They teased the possibility of a season two. It was really well written.
So it's Netflix.
It's a Netflix exclusive, which means I think they probably bought it.
They bought it, yeah.
I think it was made and then Netflix bought it. But it's so good.
Great.
It's that great, really classic, good storytelling, comedic writing.
Well, and the nice thing about that style, shows like 30 Rock or The Good Place is they're exceptionally cheap to produce. They're fast and cheap to produce. And so unlike, an epic fantasy drama that you might go years in between seasons, if this is successful, you're likely to get a lot more of it.
Yeah, you could get 9 seasons soon of this produced in a year.
Yeah, well, maybe not that much, but
you could. You could get, the equivalent of, if you're looking at 10 episode seasons, you could do 90 episodes in a year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, your review is enough to have convinced me to watch it. So
watch it. It's fun. It's Ted Danson. I think Ted Danson is better now than when he was in his Cheers era.
Stop it.
No, stop it. He's better now than when he was in his Cheers era.
Stop it. Maybe. Yeah. I've got another thing.
Do me.
Mine is so much more boring. And I don't really know how to talk about it because it's an area in which I am wholly unprepared to meaningfully speak about. But it's
Black Friday week.
I talked about this a little bit ago peripherally, which is to say I talked about the house for this thing that I'm about to speak on. I bought a few months ago, I bought an IKEA floor lamp and I talked about it. I said, the shade on this thing is exceptionally big. Andrew didn't believe me when I talked about how big it was, and then I sent a picture of it. Like,
it's comically large,
basically, with my head inside of it.
And room for three more of your heads.
Still love that lamp. It is,
it's a good lamp,
exceptional. But to put inside of this thing, I bought a grow light.
Andrew, interesting choice.
In my office, I have a small succulent garden. And it's not just succulents, but I've got about six or seven plants. And when I moved offices, I have this huge corner office. It's not huge. I've got a good size corner. It's a
fucking big office.
I've got a good size corner office with all windows. However, my office faces north. North. My building is at an angle so that I am on the north corner of the building.
Your building is not at an angle.
Which means it is. So it means that I get about 45 minutes of sunlight in my office per day in the winter. And in the summer, I get a little bit more. But it's not enough for most plants. And so I decided that my succulent garden needed a little bit more light. So I bought my IKEA Hectar. I then bought a GE Glow bulb. And I spent a lot of time looking for what bulb I should buy. And there are a lot of options. And you don't have to get bulbs as other options. But I needed something that was going to work in an office environment and not be like totally fucking weird. And it does.
You want some grow lights hanging from the ceiling.
That's right. Yeah. I needed it to not be totally weird. And it doesn't look weird. It actually, between that IKEA Hectar.
No, it just looks like a floodlight.
Well, and it's not on during the day, right? So I run it at night. And my plants have gone crazy. They have gone crazy. I said I didn't really know how to talk about this because I'm not sure that this is better or worse than anything else. What I can tell you is that I did a bunch of research and I found that this was probably the best option. I got this thing. It feels incredibly substantial. It's going to last for a long time, I can tell.
I think it says 10 years.
But here's what I got. I got the GE Par 38 Floodlight Indoor LED Grow Light for Plants. It is a 25,000 hour lifespan. It is a balanced light spectrum. And it has made these plants, they have grown more in the last 6 weeks.
Wait, so you mean you started giving your plants the things that they need to survive and they started to thrive?
Correct. Correct. They've grown more in the last month than they did in the year before that. All of them have just gone apeshit and super healthy growth. So I don't know that you need to
flower on them or like,
you're a cop. You're a fucking cop.
It's legal here.
I don't know that this is better than anything else. Maybe my other thing for the week is
treat your plants well.
If you got plants and you're struggling with them and they don't get enough light, get it. It's so simple. It was just so simple. Oh, and I don't think I've talked about this. Did I talk about my whys? No. So that'll be next week. That'll be next week.
Okay.
That'll be next week. But get a grow bulb. If you want, get this one. I'll recommend it because I can recommend it, but I'm not going to suggest that it's better than anything else because I just don't know. But this is the one I got after doing the research, after doing the thing that we talk about, and it is everything that I hoped it would be.
Yeah, feed your plants. Water them. Give them light.
Specifically light from the GE Grow Bulb.
I don't know a whole lot about light besides like...
It goes fast. I know that much.
It
goes faster than anything else. But the difference
between a grow light and just a regular light bulb.
It is different. Yeah, it is different.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. But
spectrum is the thing you worry about with that.
Okay.
Andrew, what else do you want to say?
Nothing. I want to say nothing else.
Hey, you guys, happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening to this on Thanksgiving, what are you doing? Go be with your family. But also, thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening to us while you watch football.
Tell you what, do us a favor. Go to the website, watchclicker.com. That's where we post every single episode of this podcast, but also written things. People spend time writing words on paper, well, probably a computer, and they post them on there. And they're usually about watches. So go to the website, watchclicker.com. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that at 40and20_watchclicker or at watchclicker, both on Instagram. If you want to support us, and oh boy, we hope you do. The way you do that is on patreon.com. Look, guys, this everything costs money. We've got some folks that support us and they're keeping it going. But if you ever, ever, ever even think for a second, I love this show, go to patreon.com/40and20 and drop us a couple bucks, because that will keep it going for a lot longer. And don't forget to tune back in next Thursday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.